Shalom, good afternoon. We welcome back our guest speaker, not me, but Habakkuk. The Lord speaking to us through the book of Habakkuk today, page 939, if you use the Pew Bible. So we will be reading from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5, up to chapter 2, verse 1. So keep your Bibles open, we'll go through it verse by verse as I speak. This is Habakkuk chapter 1, beginning to read from verse 5, the King James Version.
Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Verse 12, Habakkuk speaking. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and, Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is found, and their meat plenteous. Shall they, therefore, empty their net, and not spare continually to slay the nations? And the last verse for today, chapter 2, verse 1. I will stand upon my watch, and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Let's pray. Father, send us your Holy Spirit that we may be able to understand, to believe, and apply this word for Jesus' sake. Amen. This morning we saw the childlike faith that cries unto God. The faith that says, I belong to my Savior, and he will never turn me away. I can come to him, I can reason with him, and he will make me whiter than snow. He will purify my thoughts, my heart. He will make me whole again. My identity as a child of God enables us to cry out, pray to our Father. Now this faith grows and grows and grows. Imagine the child that we talked about since this morning. The child grows to be a teenager. Teenagers have many questions. And it's a good thing. Because teenagers start to think. You start to think for yourself. But often, the conclusions that the teenagers arrive are not the same conclusions that the parents arrive at, right? So you have, you know, conflicts or banter of ideas for him, clashes at home, and you probably know all this better. You know what I'm talking about. And this evening, this afternoon, we will look at the faith from that childlike faith that cries to God, growing into the faith that trusts in God. Even when we don't understand what God is doing, even when we don't understand His ways, I don't see the same conclusion that He arrives at, but I will trust in the Lord. We'll look at that through Habakkuk today. Our outline, I got it ABC this time. God's answer, this is verses 5 to 11. And then Habakkuk's bewilderment, verses 12 to 20. And Habakkuk's confidence, the last verse, even when he doesn't understand. ABC. Okay, so let's see, look at the text. Because of the wickedness in Judah, remember, we just talked about this morning. Perversion of God's law among God's very own people. So Habakkuk cries to God, how long, God, will you not listen? Will you not do something? Lo and behold, our God is alive, and God answers. God answers the prayer, the plea, the cry of His people, of His children. So we have here, Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Look at your Bibles. God's answering. Behold, says the Lord. Behold, ye among the heathens, and regard, and wonder marvelously. Basically, that's synonyms for one word. Look. Pay attention. Behold, regard, wonder marvelously. Those three words. What is so surprising? What are we supposed to look at and see, wait for and see? The next part. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Well, Habakkuk understands that immediately, but for us, you will be probably asking, who are the Chaldeans? So let's pause, and this is Leo reporting the latest news on the Chaldeans from Prairie View. The Chaldeans were virtually non-existent until 626 BC. Remember the year? 626 before century. And then in that year, Nabopolassar becomes the king of Babylon. He then started the Chaldean dynasty, or also known as Neo-Babylonians. So if you hear those, it's the same. Chaldeans, Neo-Babylonians, same nation. In 6 years after their founding year, they seized the city of Babylon. 6 years after, they conquered Assur, one of the main cities of the Assyrians. 2 years after that, they conquered Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. So the Assyrian capital is moved to Haran because they're attacked. In 2 years, this is 610 BC, they conquered Haran. And that ended the Assyrian dynasty, Assyrian nation, monarchy, whatever. Done forever. If you think this is just any small nation, no. Remember the northern kingdom what we talked about this morning? They were taken captive, plundered by the Assyrians. The 10 tribes wiped out, exiled by the Assyrians. And now the Assyrians were wiped out by a new baby nation, Chaldeans. Habakkuk is believed to have been writing around this time. But let me fill you in with more info that Habakkuk had not seen at the time when he wrote. In 605 BC, this Chaldean, Neo-Babylonian, They won the battle of Carchemish against the Egypt and Assyrian coalition, so they besieged Jerusalem. Judah got affected. The 70 years of exile, it's counted from this year, 605. And then in 597, King Jehoiakim, the bad king, he refused to continue paying taxes, tribute. That led to another siege of Jerusalem. So that guy is replaced by Josiah's third son, Zedekiah. This is the puppet king of the Chaldeans. Then Zedekiah allied with Pharaoh, Egypt, revolted against Babylon. Tell you what, Jeremiah told Zedekiah, don't lean on men. Don't lean on the king of Egypt. Trust in God. Zedekiah did it anyway. So Zedekiah brought Jerusalem into bigger mess. Babylon invaded Judah, and finally 587 completely destroyed Jerusalem. Gone is Judah. Exile. Look at Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 6 and 7. How God himself described Chaldeans. God uses the word bitter, hasty, terrible, dreadful. And then that same verse 7, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. If you look at the translation, it says from their belly. So this is a self-seeking nation. Their judgment, their dignity comes from their belly. I do what I want. I don't care about your God. I am the God. There is no fear of God. Whatever they want, they do. And look at verses 8 to 9. They're powerful. They're scary. Their horses swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Horsemen shall spread themselves, come from afar for one purpose, violence. They've literally come just for one thing. Violence to destroy. Look at the interesting phrase at the end of verse 9. They shall gather captives as sand. Why is it interesting? Remember the word as sand? God promised Abraham that his descendants, his offspring, would be like sand. But here, the Chaldeans are gathering captives, even Judah, the offspring of Abraham themselves, as sand. Seems like they're undoing God's promise. What's happening? If you ask that, good. Habakkuk's asking that same question. What's happening? If you search the scripture, though, the Bible tells us that God is simply fulfilling his promise of judgment on the covenant breakers. There's the covenant, the promise, blessings for those who obey, who keep the covenant, and curses and judgment for those who break the covenant. Leviticus 26, you don't have to flip, I'll read it. This is Leviticus 26, verse 14. If ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, but break my covenant, verse 17, I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. He shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all these, hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. If you jump down, Leviticus 26, verse 38. Ye shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. They that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers, and shall they pine away. This is it.
This is it. We know what God is doing. The unchanging God, fulfilling his promise, covenant promise, for those who disobey. And I had an interesting chat with Jose today. He asked me, like, why is God working, punishing so actively in the Old Testament, but not so in today, in our day? Think about it. God told them 800 years in advance, if you're disobedient and you don't repent, this will happen. I will punish you. And you know the history. God waited and waited and waited. Sent prophet after prophet after prophet. That's why you have Old Testament. And they did not repent. So God is patiently waiting. And finally, God brought justice by bringing the Chaldeans to bring Sabbath to the land, because Israel did not keep the Sabbath. This is a judgment and no one can reverse it. God has spoken, it shall be. King Zedekiah, asking help from Egypt? Look at our Bible, verse 10, Habakkuk 1:10. The Chaldeans scoff at the kings. Princes shall be a scorn unto them. Like, oh, what can you do? They shall deride every stronghold. They shall heat up dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Can you imagine? Judah plundered by Chaldeans, the pagans, and they will thank their God. They will thank their God, thinking their God gave them victory over Judah. What a shame. What a shame for covenant people. So that's God's answer. Second point, Habakkuk's bewilderment. If you wonder what that word is, that's bewildered. Confused. Like amazed. What? This is God's answer to Habakkuk's plea. Judah was evil. Habakkuk cried to God. And God said, you're right, Habakkuk. I'm going to put a stop to them. How? I'll send Chaldeans to stop the wickedness in Judah. Answer to Habakkuk's prayer, right? How did Habakkuk react? Look at our Bibles. Habakkuk's like, whoa, wait a sec, Lord. Like, really, God? But why? That's what Habakkuk's reacting. He can't understand why God would do that. Look at verse 12. This is what I mentioned this morning. Habakkuk knows his God. Look at what he writes. Verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Let's analyze that. This is verse 12. We can't help that Habakkuk knows his God as revealed in the scripture. Everlasting God. Covenant God. Yahweh. My God is personal. My Holy One who carries out judgment. The just God. Habakkuk knows all this about God. He also goes with the sovereign God, the just God, the rock in whom I stand, the rock in whom I have my being, my salvation. Look at verse 13. Pure and just God, who cannot look at wrongdoing. Look at this. Habakkuk does not understand God's answer. But when he has to deal with the things he doesn't understand, he doesn't make assumptions. He doesn't lose trust. He stops. He takes a step back and starts from something he knows best. What is that? The character of God. Who God is. And this is exactly what be still and know that I am God looks like. Christians, have your faith grown
Yes, we cry to God in our anguish, in our anger even, in our confusion. It's good, and you're called to do so. But through the years, have your faith grown so that in time of uncertainty, when things just don't make sense, when you can't see the end of the tunnel, when you just can't comprehend God's plan, you don't just lean on your understanding, you don't just question His character, but rather you preach to yourself who God is. Trust His sovereignty, trust His character, trust that He's your Father and He's for you. Don't let situation overwhelm you or overcome you. When you don't understand, stop, step back, start from what you know best. Who God is. His trustworthiness, His faithfulness. You probably have this story or friends. Very sad to see, to hear. Somebody I know who was praying and praying and praying and finally God answered his prayer, but it was not the way he expected it. Maybe prayer for healing. Maybe prayer for solution of conflict or something, or health or faith, and he just lost it. God doesn't love me. God isn't just. There's no God, even worse. We only trust him when we can understand him. Only when he does what we want him to do. That is not God. That is not the living God. That is me projecting. That is idol. So we need to know the living and true God. Know who he is. Know his sovereignty. How? Through his word. Now, let me apply this broadly. This relationship is vertically with us and God. You can apply that too, horizontally. We often do this kind of thing with our brothers and sisters. When there's conflict, misunderstanding, maybe you hear someone said something or somebody did something, and how often immediately we get offended, we doubt the relationship, we doubt the character, or we even question, he might not even be Christian. This isn't how Christians should interact with each other. Trust that they are Christians, that they are your brothers, they're your sisters in Christ, and they are for you, they're yours. Trust the relationship that you have through the blood of Christ and talk to them, clarify, rather than filling in the blanks in your head, assuming the worst. Back to Habakkuk. He doesn't understand God's answer, but he trusts God, his Father. He knows his faithfulness and holiness. So he goes to God for clarification. Grounded in the knowledge of God. Look at verses 13, 14. Why do you look upon them and deal treacherously, O God? Why do you hold your tongue when the wicked devour man that is more righteous than he? And then verse 14. They are gathering nations like fish on the sea. Like as if they have no ruler over them. Look at the Chaldeans, God, 15. They take up all of them with the angle, including us, God, your people. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. In our language today, Habakkuk say, these pagans, God, they are plundering us and they worship their God. Look at 16. They sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. So it was common for those pagan nations to worship their tools. These Chaldeans, they worship the nets for fishing. The Scythians, they worship their knife, dagger. So nations worship things that think they're God. They think because of those tools, they have fat portion and they have plenteous meat. In our verse 16. Their tools are their God, giving them whatever they need.
So Habakkuk asks God,
shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations?
In our language today, are you going to let them destroy nations forever? God. We heard God's answer. We heard Habakkuk's bewilderment. But we have one more point to go. One verse, one last verse today.
Habakkuk placed his confidence in the Lord. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me, what God will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He's ready to be corrected. Habakkuk saying, God, I know you're holy, just, faithful, and true. I don't understand why you would allow wicked people like this to trample your people, but I know you're just. I know you're holy. What I don't understand doesn't change what I know about you. So I will wait. I will be still. I will watch your work. I want to hear your word. I'm not going to act rashly. I will be still. I want you to be the God of my heart, the God of my thoughts, and the God of my actions. Brothers and sisters, do you have this faith that grows to trust in God even when you can't see his hands yet? Cry to God and trust that our God will answer his people. We might not receive the answer immediately. We might not even see him answering in this lifetime, maybe. But have faith that he hears. The problem is that we are so spoiled. We are instant nation. Instant messaging, instant noodles, instant everything. We want the answer right now. My time, my way. But if we read the Bible, can we at least trust that this God doesn't change? God answers his people. You can open from the Genesis, the very first book. You see God answers. Abel's blood, remember? Abel's blood called to God, God answered. God answered his people. Abraham called to God, God answered. Samson called to God after all his sin. God answered. David, Elijah, Habakkuk, I can go on. God answers his children. And yet it's so hard for us to trust that. To wait on God. Our faith is so feeble and we want God to operate, to behave the way we imagine him to be. Idolatry. That is not the living God. Now let me point to this man that we mentioned this morning, Jesus, the only Son of God. He was misunderstood by people, betrayed by his friend, forsaken even by his own father. Remember just before the cross, he prayed, let this cup pass from me, if possible. But not as I will, but as you will. Then on the way to the cross, he was beaten. He was spat on. On the cross, he was naked and alone, mocked and ridiculed. But God has always answered his children's cries, right? So Jesus cried to his father, my God, why have you forsaken me? What do you hear? What do you hear? This is the Son of God himself crying to his Father, the eternal Son of God, unlike us who are children by adoption. And yet the Father did not answer his own begotten Son. Isn't that humiliating? Where's your Father? Are you truly his son? Save yourself from the cross. Jesus died on that cross in shame. His situation did not change after he prayed for the cup to pass. Yet Jesus trusts perfectly in his Father. How do I know, Leo? How do I know as Leo? Read the Bible. From his last words before he died. This is Luke 23:46. Father, his last words of Jesus before he died. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Even to his last breath, he trusts and rests in his Father. Jesus is not merely a good example. I'm not saying, as this morning I said, be like Jesus, trust like Jesus. That's the end of the sermon. Amen. Go try harder. That's not the message. That's not the gospel. This is the gospel. Jesus suffered and died to pay for your sin and my sin. He died so that you and I may live. He was forsaken by God so that we may be reconciled. We who were far off, we who were enemies of God, are not adopted as children because of Jesus' death. That is the gospel. I have to spoil my thunder for the next sermon in series. But this Jesus did not stay dead. You know the story too. He who died rose again. He now reigns in heaven and on earth, gathering his people. And tell you, his life, his death, his resurrection is precisely the reason why you and I, those who believe in Jesus, can and may cry to God, our Father. We may be assured that our Father does answer prayer. Not a child is forgotten. And everything is for our good, our salvation. He is your Father only through Jesus. So trust in Jesus. Be in Christ. This is the gospel. Do you believe this? Is this your faith? So if you're in Christ, you're able to cry to God. Call on Him, your Father, and grow. I plead you, grow in the Word. Read your Bible. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. The more you know Him, the more you trust Him. When your enemies assail you, when life seems pointless, when there seems to be no way out, you know, there's one place where you can just fall back and rest. God's Word, God's truth, unchanging love for you and for me through Christ. In Him, in Jesus, you are established. You will never be moved. And this is Habakkuk's confidence. I'll wait and watch. Your life situation might be hopeless today. You might be praying and praying and praying and waiting like Habakkuk. Habakkuk died without knowing what happened next. Judah fell, plundered. But let me tell you, the Assyrians were used to punish the northern kingdom. And then the Assyrians were punished by Chaldeans. And then the Chaldeans will later on be punished by the Persian Empire. And the Persian Empire will be used by God to bring Judah back to the land. And the lines continue so that Christ, Jesus, can come. Everything is well planned, executed by our God. And so is your life. He doesn't miss a second of your life. Do you have this faith? May God help us. Stand on this truth and watch. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, confessing our sins, our pettiness, our childishness, that we do not grow in our faith, in our trust. Father, help us to be able to be still, quiet our anxious heart, so that we may hear your still, small voice. Help us to be still and know that you are God, sovereign, holy, righteous, and just, and you will help us through. You will carry us each day until we see Jesus face to face. And when you bring us home, we may be able to see how you accomplish all things beautifully for our good. Until that day, Father, keep us faithful. Keep us. Stay on the cross of Jesus. Help us encourage one another with this word. Fight for us, and we hold our peace. In Jesus' name.